Good morning. Thank you for inviting me back to First Unitarian to worship with you. This is a beautiful space, and you are very welcoming people. A few months ago, I began a chaplain residency at Barnes Jewish Hospital. One of the first days on the floor, I happened across a woman sitting in a wheelchair waiting by the elevators. In and of itself, this occurrence isn't so strange. The elevators are interminably slow, and the patients, the staff, and the family all wait together. Yet this woman, in this moment in particular, really stand out for me. She was an older lady wearing a thin blue hospital gown and one of those long sleeve yellow gowns that you wear when you're on isolation or you're visiting someone on an isolation floor. If you are on isolation, no one, not even the staff, is allowed to enter your room or to touch you unless you're wearing the yellow gown or gloves. It is designed to protect against infection and to prevent the spread of it, and you do get a private room if you're on isolation. Yet the yellow gown really stands out in my mind. It signals that you need to be isolated, set apart. I think it really makes people more lonely. But this woman's hair was gray and thin, very thin, as if she'd gone through many rounds of radiation or chemotherapy, or maybe she'd just been taking too much prednisone to deal with pain. Her skin was pale and translucent, her cheeks a bright rosy pink. Her eyes were a faint blue that sparkled and danced. Her lips were the color of her cheeks, and the lipstick was put on a little bit heavy, but it just made her beaming smile all that much more delightful. This woman truly radiated joy. This woman, this anonymous cancer patient, strikes me as one of the most beautiful women I've seen. Not in any traditional way. In fact, according to our own cultural standards that value youth over age, being 20 pounds too thin over being 20 pounds too heavy, and health over infirmity, this woman was definitely not beautiful. But she was beautiful. Her wrinkles and her aged skin testify to a life lived. She radiates joy. She exudes grace in the moment. To me, these speak of a deep inner beauty. This encounter stayed with me and made me think or rethink what beauty is. What do I find beautiful in life? Why do I see this woman as an emblem of beauty, not despite her signs of age, but because of her authentic presence? Now, as much as I enjoy designer appliances at affordable prices from Target, my eye is at least equally drawn to the weathered antique. I'm drawn to driftwood and have collected some from the Great River Road nearby, from outside of Grafton. I feel drawn to old barns that still dot the countryside, and I'm sad that we're losing so many old and beautiful things just because it costs as much to fix them as it does to replace them. I love the stark beauty of nature as Ansel Adams would capture in his photographs. And even on this gray November morning, you can see the bare trees and the fog, but the river is still so beautiful, and there's a beauty in the weathered branches. Somehow I wondered, this lady made me wonder, had I lost touch with all of that? This lady helped me to rediscover something that I knew but don't always remember. Something kind and compassionate that I don't always apply to myself. There's a grace and a beauty in that which is imperfect. Think of your favorite shoes or shirt to wear around the house. Think of a baby taking her first steps. Think of your old stone church overlooking the river, 150 years of weather bearing down on the rocks, but still standing as a testimony to your proclamation over the years that every human being is a worth dignity and bears that spark of God. There's a Japanese term for this concept, wabi-sabi. Not only is it fun to say, you used to say it with me, wabi-sabi, isn't that fun? But it also provides a useful counterbalance to our Western assumptions about beauty. Western culture is rooted in Greek philosophy, and in this regard, it really shows the influence of Plato. Plato believed there was an ideal form for everything, a table, a human, truth, beauty. We may not ever have the ideal table, much less the ideal physique, which, according to Plato, is muscular, chiseled, and very handsome. But we Westerners do tend to believe, though, that there is an ideal, a perfect example against which all things, including ourselves, are measured. But consider an alternative. Wabi-sabi is the Japanese term for an aesthetic that values imperfect beauty, that accepts the natural cycle of growth, decay, and death. It arose in 15th century Japan as a reaction against this lavish ornamentation and rich materials. This pattern isn't uniquely Japanese or even Eastern. In our country and in Europe, the whole arts and crafts movement arose in part as a reaction against Victorian opulence. But wabi-sabi became the foundation of the Zen way to observe the tea ceremony. And the man who developed this perspective incorporated it in the form of pottery that's named after him, Reiku. Leonard Corin, who has written about wabi-sabi for Western audiences, describes this perspective as a beauty of all things imperfect, impermanent, and incomplete. Wabi-sabi sees the beauty in the simple, the unpretentious, and the authentic. This idea is catching on in the United States as more and more of us are trying to simplify and live a greener lifestyle. The idea is also taking root, I think, whether we've ever heard of the phrase or not, because we are just overwhelmed. We have too much stuff, or at least we do, yet we're bombarded with advertisements designed to create a sense of inadequacy if we don't wear the latest clothes or drive the most, the coolest car, or even if our teeth aren't gleaming white. We live in a culture whose very interconnectedness through email and cell phones, both of which I dearly love, by the way, increases the pace of life and creates a sense of urgency. We're running faster than ever, and yet the ideals that surround us will never be achieved. We hunger for something more. We hunger for deep fulfillment. We hunger to be accepted for who we are. We hunger for genuine relationship, one in which I accept you, recognize your inherent worth, and see your beauty, and you do the same for me. We yearn for the recognition of the value or beauty in people and things that goes deeper than the ideal of perfection. None of us are perfect. None of our relationships are perfect. No job, home, or you name it is perfect. We long for our imperfections to be accepted. We long to be loved and valued for who we are as we are, for our quirky sense of humor or the wrinkles around our eye. We long for the beauty within each of us to be seen and appreciated. A beauty of all things, imperfect, impermanent, and incomplete. That sounds like life to me. Beauty is in the ordinary, everyday things in life. An old chair, a well-loved stuffed animal, the Thanksgiving flowers that are already beginning to wilt. Beauty is there in all our forms of loving one another and in our memories of loved ones. Beauty's there in the hopes that motivate our lives and in our sometimes clumsy and uncertain ways to do justice. This journey called life invites us to see the beauty and find meaning in our lives right here, right now. Our journey invites us to see the beauty in our imperfection, our impermanence, and our incompleteness. We don't lose our beauty when we make mistakes, or when we fail, or when we become disabled, or when we realize that we're different from who we thought or other people thought we should be. Rather, we discover beauty when we open our lives to love and beauty within ourselves and other people. Seeing the beauty in other people's imperfections frees me to accept my own imperfections. And when I can view my imperfections through a compassionate eye, I become more accepting of the shortcomings of other people. Each moment becomes a gift filled with beauty. Or at least it has the potential for that. My imperfections keep me from actually practicing this vision wholly and completely. And so my hope for all of us is this. May we embrace this imperfect life. May we survey the world around us with love. And may we accept one another. May we open our hearts to a life lived with love and compassion. May we open our eyes to the quiet beauty of the simple and the ordinary, of the imperfect and the incomplete. May it be so.